All right, so for the past 3 weeks, we have been introduced to the first element of our new vision statement that we have moving forward with the life of the church, which is to relentlessly pursue joy in God through worship and through the scriptures. And that's what we've been hitting the past several weeks. And over the next 2 weeks, we are going to shift our focus to the second element in our vision statement, which is to authentically cultivate relationships with God and with others. Let me share with you a brief story about relationships and one of the lowest points in my life. This takes a lot of authenticity for me to be able to do this morning. So I was 23 years old. And now that I'm in my early 30s, I look back on myself then, and I realize I was just a kid in the setting of this story. 23 is still 23 young. So I was fresh out of college. I just completed my first year of seminary, and the wheels of my personal life fell off. And I hope that throughout our years together, and I am saying years, and Lord willing, decades together, as we get to know each other as pastor and congregation, I hope to be able to share more specifically about those experiences in my life. But through all the ministry experiences I had had, I've been exposed to maybe thousands of people between serving at two different churches. And I developed a really strong bond with a bunch of men that I thought were my brothers. And during this time, there were areas in my life that, when it comes down to it, I just didn't obey God. There were decisions that I knew that I shouldn't have made, and there were relationships I'd had for years and years and years that I should have said no and not move forward with. But because of my passivity, I decided to go along with it anyway. And during this time, it was highly encouraged for me to step away from ministry. And when this adversity hit, every single relationship that I had created through all those years of ministry left me out to dry. Every single relationship except for one. All the people that surrounded me and wanted my time and wanted my efforts, just because I was on a stage, they abandoned me. And when my dad and I reminisce on this, and we actually did it last weekend, my dad had the opportunity to come home and spend some time with me. And he brought it up then. He's like, Joe, do you remember that one guy in church that almost every single time I would come and visit, he would come up to me and say, your son is awesome. I love your son's worship. I love your son's preaching. I will follow him wherever he may go. He always brings this up to him. He says, do you remember that? I'm like, yeah, Dad, I remember it. Well, that commitment was put to test within the next couple of months. And apparently, all of that was just talk. It wasn't true. And the sad thing is, we all have experiences like this. And here's the issue. Churches today have not glorified God and how they develop and how they sustain relationships over a long period of time. People have issues sticking it out with each other through hard times. And over the last 8 years, Heritage has dwindled into a church that has a Sunday morning worship service. They have a meal together every so often on a Wednesday night. And once a year, we just put all of our eggs in one basket and had this one big event and just hope that everything is solved. And it hasn't worked. And we've seen the effects of it now. We are experiencing the effects of it. So we've tried Triple F, we've had concerts here, but we've been unable to create a deep and meaningful relationship with one another. So as we talk about reboots and error messages, Heritage has been giving us another error message. And this is error message number 5. And it's this, is that Heritage is no longer fertile soil to create authentic, Christ-centered relationships. The important word in this portion of our vision statement is the word cultivate. It is a gardening term. And this is one of the reasons why our new Heritage logo features a tree. The word cultivate means to promote or to improve the growth or the health of something by labor and by attention. And this is what we're after here at Heritage. We hope to promote and to improve the growth of people through hard labor and through consistent attention. In this gardening analogy, soil is the environment where a plant can grow. And so take this plant as an example. You can't tell by looking at it, but this was once a beautiful hydrangea. Beautiful. I bought it for Tisa, Mother's Day, 2013, and it was probably this big, just blooming with the most beautiful purple flowers. So it was once beautiful and blooming, but through neglect, it's fallen into disarray. Now, this hydrangea is a perfect example of our church, something that was once beautiful, something that was once blooming, something that was once fruitful, has fallen into a disarray. Now, this hydrangea in our church, what it really needs most is a group of people that will take a look at it and see, man, we need to get in to this soil. We need to replant this. We need to tend to it. We need to cultivate this. We need to nurse it back to health. Now, can you imagine what this hydrangea would look like after 6 months of that type of attention? I bet you by Mother's Day this year of 2016 that it'll probably be restored and blooming. Now, can you imagine what the next 6 months would be like if there was a group of Christians who sat around Heritage and they realized that, you know what? The leaves, this isn't good. The soil, it's not good. We have to replant this. What would Heritage look like if a group of Christians came around her and tended to her and nursed her back to health? This is what the next 2 weeks is going to focus on. These next 6 months together can be sweet, it can be blooming, and it can be beautiful. So, the road to experience this blooming of Heritage will not be easy, and it's not going to be quick. It's not going to happen overnight. We are in week 5 right now of changing the culture of this church. So let's jump into our proposition this morning. And the proposition is this, is that adversity is the soil that God uses to cultivate relationships. This is what God wants us to get out of this morning's text. Real relationships are created and sustained from adversity. It's the tough things in life that creates bonds with one another. And this is one of the reasons why Heritage hasn't been able to experience lasting health and growth. When adversity hits, people leave. This has been the tradition of Heritage for decades. And this is one of the issues that we are trying to solve. This has been the error message that Heritage has been showing us over and over and over. When adversity hits, people leave. People leave because they do not know what it means to be relentless, which is the first part of our new vision statement, to create a group of people who are relentless, unyielding, and never give up. But there's a group of people in our text this morning, they got it. They were relentless in pursuing Jesus. They were relentless in pursuing Jesus together. And they used their adversity to cultivate their relationships. So let's jump into this morning's text. We are going to be in the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to be in chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 1 to 13. This is right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so we're in Mark 2, verses 1 to 13. It says, when he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone. So they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. So we need to get settled here at Capernaum, where Jesus is making his home right now. Capernaum is just a fishing village on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. So let's see what real relationships look like, and let's see how authentic relationships handle adversity and uses adversity as the soil for growth. Ultimately, let's see how God is calling us at Heritage to relate to one another. So here's the first point. The first point is that authentic relationships overcome obstacles to find Jesus. The word authentic means genuine or real. It isn't false. It isn't copied. It isn't forged. These men had a real relationship with one another. In verse 1, people heard that Jesus had come back to Capernaum. In the previous chapter, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus had already begun his preaching, his teaching, and his healing ministry. And everyone in this little fishing village heard about it. They heard all about his sermons. They heard all about his healing. So in verse 2, they are packed into where Jesus is staying. And there's not even room near the door to get in. And Jesus used this opportunity to speak to the crowds. And then in verse 3, we read, it says, "And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men." These men had a relationship with one another. They banded together to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. We don't have the details about why their friend was paralyzed, the extent of the paralysis, but we do know that this man could not get around by himself. He needed assistance. This man was completely dependent upon his relationships to be brought to Jesus. He was incapable of doing it on his own. And for many here this morning, we could stop the sermon. That's it. What you need to hear from God is that you are incapable of doing this on your own. You need friends. We are incapable of coming and staying with Jesus on our own. We must be interdependent on God and others in our pursuit of joy in Jesus. And the very first misstep that we can take is to think that we can do it alone. So the question is, do you value the relationships and the people here at Heritage? Are they necessary for your daily living? If not, something has to change. I believe that for some of us, if we were really honest and if we were really cornered to it, we would answer no to these questions. I think that some of us believe that some of these relationships are not necessary for their own health or growth and that of their marriages and that of their families. And oh, how they are wrong. Some churchgoers are glad to take from church, but they are not glad to stick with it when the church goes through adversity. I have lived through it. I have lived through it at this church. There are some churchgoers that think that their mere attendance is good enough. We are trying to change the culture, change the DNA here at Heritage, to replant the hydrangea in new soil so that she can experience health and growth again. I hope that the 5 weeks we have spent so far in reboots, that you would realize that Heritage doesn't need people who think they're doing enough by just showing up. Heritage doesn't need people who think the church is there to serve them, to cater to their needs. Heritage needs planters. And if Heritage doesn't receive planters, what's going to happen to the hydrangea? It will eventually die, most likely by the next cold spell we have in Florida. If something isn't changed, if planters don't come, tenders, cultivators, this hydrangea will be wiped out. It needs planters. Heritage needs planters. These men valued their relationship with the paralytic. They were willing to get their hands dirty. They knew his pain, and they heard of a man in the area that was healing people. And these men, they banded together and literally carried their paralytic friend to Jesus. But in verse 4, they encounter an obstacle. Take a look at it with me in verse 4. It says, being unable to get to him because of the crowd. These men carried their friend all the way to Jesus, only to discover that there was a literal roadblock between them and Jesus. And it is at this point where relationships show the quality of their authenticity. Adversity is the soil, the agent, the litmus test that shows the true colors of relationships. So what happens when there's an obstacle in a relationship? What happens if the soil is rocky? Most relationships, they give up. They rationalize, they make excuses, they twist reality to make themselves feel good about abandoning others. These guys could have said, hey, we brought our friend to Jesus. We actually carried him on the pallet. We did all the heavy lifting. No one else did it. We did it. We didn't know there'd be so many people at Jesus' home. But the paralytic's relationships proved their authenticity when the obstacle was revealed. Keep reading with me in verse 4 so we can see what they did. It says, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Relationships are hard work, church. This is the type of relationship that we want to create with one another at Heritage. These men were relentless in their pursuit of Jesus. And Heritage must become a place where we will do whatever is possible within Scripture to bring people to Jesus. The paralytic could not do it himself. He had no power. He had no authority, even over his own body. He needed his relationships to find Jesus. And we're the same spiritually. We cannot bring ourselves to Jesus. We are powerless to do that. We do not have the natural desire to pursue Jesus. If we have Jesus on one side and something else on the other, we will most likely pick that other thing. That was the whole point of our summer psalm series. It is not our natural inclination to desire God. We need relationships to push us. And that's why the mutual pursuit of God is so important together here at Heritage. Relationships will be the vehicle that God uses to reinvigorate Heritage. It's not going to be through my preaching. It's not going to be through the worship. It's not going to be through whatever events we may do in the future. It is going to be through the power of the relationship that this soil will be tilled and health will return to Heritage. When we become convicted that we need each other and we must open up ourselves to one another, healing will once again come to Heritage. Heritage needs people who will pick up that pallet, jump on the roof, remove the roof, and dig their way until they get to Jesus. So let's see the result of these men's relentlessness. And we see it in verse 5. Here's the effect. Verse 5 says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. But this is not the reaction that the friends wanted. They wanted physical healing. Their friend was paralyzed, and Jesus just forgives him? But Jesus saw their faith. These four men and the paralytic believed that Jesus had all the power, and they had full confidence in him. So Jesus saw their faith, and faith resulted in the forgiveness of the paralytic's sins. And Jesus took care of the paralytic's greater disability, which was his sin. Jesus took care of the paralytic's spiritual needs before he took care of his physical needs. Most churches today, they do the opposite. They think if they pass this out, do X, Y, and Z, then we can preach Jesus. Jesus' ministry, not that way. He tended to their needs, their spiritual needs first, and then to their physical needs. And this is the model that we are going to follow at Heritage. At Heritage, we are going to tend to one another's spiritual needs. Is it going to get messy? Yes, it's going to be messy. Relationships are messy. And my view is that you guys are worth it. And I hope that you guys can turn to each other and then say, you guys are worth it. Because I believe that about you right now. At Heritage, we are going to tend to one another's spiritual needs, and within that process of God's grace and mercy and provision allows, maybe we can be involved in the process of helping with physical needs. So let's see the reaction of Jesus' offer of forgiveness with those watching, because there's a whole crowd there. Let's see how they respond. And this is point 2. Point two is that counterfeit relationships criticize Jesus' involvement in obstacles. Let's talk about this word counterfeit for a second. It means an imitation, something that isn't genuine. It's something that was forged, something that is not real. There are some fake relationships under Christ's roof at Capernaum. So let's look at them. And we see it in verse 6. We're exposed to another group of people. And verse 6 says, "But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So let's talk about another group of men, the scribes. And here's the backdrop, just the 30-second backdrop of them. After the Jews return from captivity and slavery across the world, a group of men were recruited and formed and trained to write. Their task, their job, was to hand copy texts of Torah, the law, to pass on to other synagogues throughout the world. And through this, and their knowledge of Torah, they became a revered group. People looked to these men to be God's mouthpiece because they wrote God's word, and as they wrote it, they memorized it. So through time, these scribes became the go-to to interpret God's law. So remember, Jesus is teaching to a crowd right now. So why are the scribes there? Are they there because they're just sold out followers of Jesus? Are they interested in what Jesus is saying and doing? No, they're only interested in hearing what he has to say so they can find issues with it. And no, did they find issues. Notice that the text says that they were reasoning in their hearts. And the Greek word for reasoning there is where we get the English word dialogue. And we know a dialogue is a back and forth conversation between two people. These scribes aren't having a real dialogue. They're having it internal with their hearts. They're going back and forth, things in their hearts. They were only in Capernaum to criticize. And what do we learn about this type of criticism? Criticism is an issue of the heart. The scribes are criticizing Jesus' power and authority to impact relationships. Since the scribes knew Torah, they could correctly understand that only God can forgive sin. And they're right. So Jesus is claiming here to be God. So let's contrast these relationships really quick. The men carrying the paralytic, they want to help their friend find Jesus. They're relentless in bringing their friend to Jesus. And the scribes, on the other hand, who probably had a front row seat, they're the literal roadblock between the men and Jesus. They could care less about Jesus and the man that is in need of healing. They only want to criticize Jesus' words and actions. And these two types of people, they still exist under Christ's roof today. In any church you may go to around the world, there are still those two types of people. People who will just want to criticize or people who really want to bring their friends to Jesus. Heritage needs to rebuild around relationships like the paralytics, not the religious criticism of the scribes. These scribes could care less about the needs of others. They only care about being right, and they only care about themselves. They appear to be godly until you get closer into their lives, and it's all counterfeit. They really don't want Jesus to remove the paralytic's obstacles, for that would mean that Jesus is more important to them, and they like being in the limelight. Let's take a look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves," because Jesus is superior, he knew their thoughts before they spoke. He picks up on it to show how he is supreme. Only God can know what is in the hearts of men. And listen to what he asks them in verses 8 to 9. He asks, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk?'" Jesus exposes the religious pride of these scribes. Neither task is easy. Who can forgive sin and bring instant and complete healing physically into someone's life? Only God can. And this is the power of pursuing Jesus. He wants to make us whole. All these things, all these substitutes we've talked in months past, they can't make you whole. All those things you're trying to fill your time with, they can't do it. Only Jesus can. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home.'" One of the results of authentic relationships is that people can see the power of God. And this is what our relationships at Heritage should be about. It should be about forgiveness, and it should be about healing. This man was healed because literally his friends brought him to Jesus. This man experienced wholeness. He found Jesus. And one of the legacies I hope to leave here at Heritage is to create a church culture that does not give up on one another. Because throughout the past 50 years of its history, that's been the story. People give up. I want to display to others what wasn't shown to me when I was a 23-year-old boy. We will remove the roof. We will dig and get our hands dirty. We will do anything within our conscience to bring one another to Jesus, no matter how messy it is, no matter how complicated it is, so that they can find forgiveness and healing in his presence. We do not want to create counterfeit relationships that criticize instead of help. We want to play a role in restoring wholeness to you, to your marriages, and to your family. So what does this mean for us? It means the point of application. And the application is that we have to embrace. We have to embrace the impact of a cultivated, Christ-centered relationship. Not drop it, leave it, run away, but pick it up. Pick up the task. Pick up the pallet and walk. We're changing the soil here at Heritage, and we are just beginning to replant this beautiful church. And you know what? Replanting, it takes time. Seasons must go by to see any growth upon this plant. There will be obstacles. There will be people who leave. There will be people who will only criticize, who think that they are better and they never help. But we need to embrace the impact of what could be, what God is planning for this church. Look with me at verses 12 to 13 as we see the impact. Verse 12 says, "And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.' And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them." Healing is the impact. People were amazed. People glorified God. People came to Jesus, and Jesus was able to teach them. We care about cultivating relationships with one another because if we can bring the pallet, if we can get our hands dirty, Jesus will do his end of the deal to forgive, to heal, and to teach. And we will be amazed and we will glorify him. So the question is, what is in your way of embracing this? We all bring our own issues to this table. And I have my own, and I'll tell you mine. In my experience with church relationships, and I have been involved in church since I was 15 years old, thrown right into the fires of ministry, the very first week of my faith. And I'll say this, from my experiences in church relationships, I have learned that people only stay in a relationship because it benefits them. At the first obstacle, or when something better comes along, or when it gets tough, they give up. And despite the thousands of people that I've met in ministry and the dozens of close relationships that I've had, when it got tough, they gave up. They left. So my issue with embracing the possibility of this is trust. I must always remind myself that I have to put my hope in God, not man. Just like we sang moments ago, my hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. For some here, you may need to hear this truth, and I hope that over the months together that I am building some sort of credit with you to be able to make withdrawals, to be able to make comments that you need to hear, and some of you need to hear this comment. As a Christian, your involvement in a local church is not optional. It is essential. When you became a Christian, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that you became a part of a body, You became a finger. You became a nose. You became an eye. You became an ear. It is not optional to be connected to people. It is essential for some. It's tough. This isn't a priority. Our first priority, though, is that first statement in our vision statement, to relentlessly pursue joy in God. And it's through worship, through scripture. And our second priority is to cultivate authentic relationships, first with our spouses, then with our families, and then with our local church. And for some, this commitment isn't a priority. And we need to hear this, and we need to be called out for it. When tough decisions need to be made, when it involves commitment or time or money, church is the thing that always gets cut. And the writer of Hebrews should convict us all to repent of this half-hearted approach that we take to life at Heritage. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this. It says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So the question is, what type of community do you want to have at Heritage? Do you want a community that makes it a habit of forsaking one another? That's option one. Do you want that? Or do you want a church community that considers and thinks and prays about how they can encourage one another in love and good deeds to be able to apply their Christian lives the way that God desires? What do you want? I want Heritage to become the soil where people can be planted and people can bloom. I want Heritage to break this habit of forsaking attendance and forsaking membership and forsaking active involvement. I want Heritage Christians to make Heritage a priority again. But this type of commitment, it takes time. It's radical. It takes sweat and it takes hard work. And some of you may need to realize that where you're standing today, this just isn't you. And it's okay. What you bring to the table is what you bring to the table, as long as if you are open to what God wants to do. Ultimately, some of us will not take the time. We won't put in the sweat. We won't put in the hard work to cultivate relationships. Getting your hands dirty and soil, it's just not you. You don't want this. Actually, I don't want it either.
I'll take your...
Yeah. But our task as a church body is to figure out why. Why don't you want this? What is getting in the way of you buying into this type of community? I think for some, it goes back to the first part of our vision statement. There are some who are not devoted to Scripture. They are not relentlessly pursuing God. So why would they cultivate relationship with God's people? That's the question. They don't believe in the power of community because they don't believe in the power of Scripture. Why would they listen to Paul's words about membership when they don't believe that God's word even has power? But this is where we're going with church membership. Our membership must covenant together in a mutual pursuit of God. We must all pick up the pallet and bring one another to Jesus and to not give up at the first sight of an obstacle. If we can do this, if we can become planters and maybe put on the gloves and dig into the soil, maybe Heritage can be replanted to grow again.